tongues and interpretation, it's for three things. It's for edification, exhortation and comfort. It's not for judgment, it's not for that's a completely different ministration. And actually, I can speak in tongues any time. That's my initial tongue of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when you're being used in the gift of tongues, you can only use that under the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. And it's same with interpretation. It's same with all the gifts. I've looked at, I've picked up a book, and I didn't realise how much it would mean. You can see it's like an old book. It's falling apart. Glory in the Church. And it was written by a man many, many years ago, and I didn't realise just how much it was relevant to us. So I'm going to look at that, but I want to read, or have it read rather, from here for you, to the scriptures that we've read, 1 Corinthians 12, want to read it.
Remember how you were when you didn't know God, led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everybody else did it? It's different in this life. God wants us to use our intelligence, to seek to understand as well as we can. For instance, by using your heads, you know perfectly well that the Spirit of God would never prompt anyone to say, Jesus be damned. Nor would anyone be inclined to say, Jesus is Master, without the insight of the Holy Spirit. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of His one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which He has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of His resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, His Spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, I'm not elegant like hand, embellished with rings. I guess I don't belong to this body. Would that make it so? If ears said, I'm not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive. I don't deserve a place on the head. Would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where He wanted it. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, get lost, I don't need you, or head telling foot, you're fired. Your job has been phased out. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic, and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body you are concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or closed, higher or lower. You get...
out of the Smithfield Life Bible, there's a piece I'd like Steve just to read to us, just to put into where I want to go, where I want to go today. Okay, I'm not going to speak on the spiritual gifts, but I'm going to speak on the body of Christ. Okay, Steve, thanks.
So this is an explanation. It's not part of the Bible. It's an explanation. Part of what's been read earlier. It's about independence and interdependence. So it says, independence says, I can do it myself. Interdependence says, I cannot do it alone. We need each other. The goal of interdependence in the church is to reflect the unity of the body of Christ in the midst of its diversity. God has gifted different parts of the body, including different congregations with specific missions, to build up the whole. As the body functions in the way God intends, he uses it to draw alienated people of various and varied circumstances to the good news of Jesus Christ. Interdependence is difficult to develop in a culture that insists on its own way and rights. But to minister reconciliation, we must learn interdependence. In interdependent living, we learn to appreciate the uniqueness of others and to need what the other is bringing to the relationship. One's abundance supplies what the other lacks. One's abundance that supplies what the other lacks, leading to a mutual benefit of each other as interdependent supplies differing needs, balancing the whole.
So we are the body of Christ. And if you, in the scripture that's in the message said, it's similar to our bodies. If you look at me, you just see my one body. But within my body, there are certain functions going on that nobody sees. I don't even know they're happening, but they happen. And I've looked at carefully at some of the, because I've studied a little bit on the function of the body and how it reacts when you work, when you do work, and when things happen. I realise that I'm not an independent person in as far as the body of Christ is concerned. You aren't. We are interdependent on one another. Otherwise, I need you as much as what you need me. Because your abilities, the things that you do for the body of Christ, I can't do. If God's got a special work for you to do, that work will only be done by you the way God wants it doing. And that's one of the things that we have to grasp hold of. And it might be, you think, oh, insignificant. But it's not so. Because the most important things sometimes are done by what seems to be the most insignificant thing that we try to accomplish. You see, I've got a head which has got a brain in it. I know it's got one there because I've just had MRI scanned. And they say it's a healthy brain. But you know, it can't work on its own. If I don't get the blood supply to that brain, it will die. In 4 minutes, it's dead. Or it starts to have unrepairable damage. People have strokes which take out part of the brain. People have problems with the flowing of blood. So the brain can't say, I can work on my own. Though it's it's actually the centre of everything that happens in your body. It analyses things and changes things. It can't say, I can do it all on my own. It's dependent on the heart pumping blood to it. And it's the same right the way through our whole system. I once was talking to somebody regarding the back, and it's considered, the back's considered to be a very poor structure. But actually it's a strong structure if you use it right, because it's got two bends in the backbone, which if you get a piece, something that's dead straight, it's not got a lot of strength in it, but if you put certain bends in them a certain way, it becomes strong. And if I use my back correctly, it's a strong structure. The reason people have a lot of problems with their back is because they don't use it as God intended us to use it. You see a baby pick something up, it never bends its back. Always bends its knees and gets down and squats. Suddenly it sees mum and dad doing this, and before long it thinks, oh, I'll try that, and finds it's a little bit quicker, but it's more dangerous. And so the thing we've got to realise is, in the body, our normal body, we have things functioning, and it's the same in the body of Christ. We need to function where God wants us to work and wants us to do. I can do things that you can't do. You can do things I can't do. Your abilities and your gifting to the body of Christ is something that's not mine. But if you don't do it and someone else does it, it's second hand, it's second best. And it's not how God wants it to be done. Yeah, it'll get done, but it won't really get done exactly as how God wants it to be done. See, if I cut myself severely, what happens is that the blood vessels immediately start to try and stop the flow of blood. The blood clots. All these things are happening within our ordinary body. There's a thing called blood shunting. That if you get something wrong in your body, the rest of the body shuts their arteries down slightly, so that more blood goes to the area that's in need. And that's the same with the body of Christ. And we've got people with giftings, people that have got jobs to do. You might say, oh, I don't do it. I don't do much. God doesn't want you to do much. He wants to do what you can do, and as he equips you. And we'll be learning that some of the equipment that we've been given by the Lord through the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit amongst us. But don't let anyone tell you that you're not got any worth. In the kingdom of God, you are necessary and needful to make sure that it functions as God wants it to. And if I do my part, and you do your part, the body starts to work together. I've had problems and difficulties in this whole body. Sometimes it don't do what it's supposed to do. This morning I went through a door and I never made it. The door gave way and I didn't. I went flying. Well, I didn't go flying, but I fell. But the thing is, sometimes we do fall. Sometimes things do happen to us. But it's the rest of the body that comes along and starts to operate on our behalf to try and help us through. Immediately I fell. The rest of my body says, you've fallen. And I know to lay still. When I've fallen down, to lay still until I get to know just what's happened. But some people jump up straight away because they're embarrassed. They go, oh, I've fallen down. I've got to get to my feet. And my wife was like that. She felt she used to never fall down like that. She used to know, sit down. She was well padded round here, so she was all right. But she wanted to get on here to say, stay where you are. Stay where you are. And fine. And that sometimes, When we're in the body of Christ, that's what we have to do sometimes. When we feel that we have fallen, or when we feel that we've failed, don't get up and try and chase around and think, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Stay where you are, be still, and know that I am God. Because he wants to show to you how to come through what you've just gone through, to bring you into the place he wants you to be. And so, the body's a very, My body's a very we're wonderfully and fearfully made, it says. And let me say, the body of Christ is wonderfully and fearfully made. It's made up of people that aren't independent, but they are interdependent. Otherwise, relying on each other. And when I'm down, there's someone not far away that's going to come alongside me. And if I allow them, they can pick me up. Because that's how the body works. My brain's continually functioning to discern what's happening in my body. And it's doing things for me all the time, when the benefit is of the whole, not just one part of it. It's not saying, oh, I'll favour the foot this morning, I'll not bother about the rest of it, but I'll favour the foot. That's not so. And God doesn't favour anybody. He's only got favourites. He's got people. Oh, crap. He's got people that he's got his hand on. You might not think so, but the Lord has got ways of doing things, and he's the use. If you look at look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each of us for the profit of all. These gifts that God's given to us, these things he's put within the church, is to help us all. And let me say to you, the gifts of the Spirit are there to edify us. That means to help us to understand. I mean, someone said to me, and no one, don't want to say who it was, but someone said, I don't know anything. I said, well, that's good, because we're going to teach you then. But people that know it all, you can't teach. You can't teach people that think they know it, they've got it all up here, they know exactly, and they think they can go on their way independent. We cannot be independent. We cannot be mavericks, or we cannot be loose cannons. If we want to function in the body of Christ, one, we've got to find our place where God wants us to be. And if, you know, you might say, well, I haven't found it yet. Keep coming under the influence of the body, because you will find your place, and you'll find what the Lord wants for you, and find the place that God wants to bring you into and bring you along. See, we've got to allow each other to function in the work that God's called them to do. Sometimes I've been in situations where there've been such strict rules and regulations that no one can hardly move. They're all bound up. That's not what it's about. It's about being working in a body. Yeah, we've got to do our function. I mean, it's no good my heart saying, I'll have a rest. I'll not beat for half an hour. That's too late. If he starts beating for a few minutes, I'm in trouble. And as a first aider, I've endeavoured to try and get people started about three or four times and never managed it. I've done what they call CPR, but I've never really been able to get people back from going to the place where they've actually died. So I've not got a very good reputation of saving people with CPR, but let me say to you, we've got one that has a great reputation. When we're low, when we're down, when we're at our lowest, he's always there alongside. And he does it via the administration of the Spirit. Sometimes you might come to church and think you're in a bit of a rough way, and somebody will come along and speak with you, and you think, wonder who told him that? Or wonder why he said that? But it's the Spirit of God just speaking into your life, speaking through you into someone else's life. And that's how the body of Jesus Christ functions. They say that there's only one organ in my body that will grow again. That's the liver. But if you talk to some of the Chinese people, they'll say, However, that's not true. All organs will reproduce themselves to a one degree. The liver just had to do it, actually does it a little quicker. My granddaughter, she died with cancer, but when she was seriously ill with cancer, and it was in her liver, they actually froze her liver and filled it with human glue where the cancer was, chopped three quarters of her liver away, took it away altogether, set it back up again, and within weeks, or within months at least, at most, her liver was back to 50% of what it originally was, functioning completely okay. And that's what I believe in the body of Christ. We can perhaps fail. We can perhaps have a time when we're put to one side, time when sickness and things that come against us. But let me tell you, we don't have to stay there, because God's got a way of bringing life from the rest of the body to help us to actually be restored and be brought back into relationship with Him, and our bodies might be, the body of Christ might function. Everything that happens in my body, my brain takes in, my brain analyses, and it puts out then things to stop. See, I can, my hands, my brain's telling my hand to do that. Now, if it was telling my hand, my right hand to do that, but it, my left hand were doing it, I'd be in a bit of a state, because the signals would be wrong. Sometimes the signals can be wrong for us, because we don't recognise them. But let me say to you, keep your mind on the Lord, keep your thoughts regarding the fact that you are His child, and He will guide and direct you and show you where you where you can function in the body of Christ. As I said, I've looked at one or two things. One of the things that blessed me was what they call blood shunting. Every part of your body will shut itself down to a degree to supply the need of a part that's going through problems and difficulties. And that's what we need to do as the body of Christ. We need to function in such a way that we're prepared to give of what we have to help some other part of the body that perhaps is having a rough time. Be there for one another. My brain is always working for the benefit of the whole. And that's what we should be doing as well. It's the epicenter of all that happens in my body. But it cannot work independent. I can't work as an independent. I've got to be able to be rely, and I rely upon other people input into my life, and that's the same for you. And you can be the ones that are inputting into other people's lives. You might say, "Well, I don't think I've got much to give." When the lady gave the box of ointment, when she anointed Jesus for his burial, and the disciples berated her, said, "What you done that for? You've really stepped out. You could have done this with it. Could have sold it for money, and you'd give the money to the poor." Not that I think Judas would have done that anyway. He'd probably lined his own pockets with it, but that's what was said. And Jesus said the wonderful words were, "Leave her alone. She has done what she could." And that's the standard. That's the standard. Do what you can. What you can't do, if that's the calling of God on your life, what you can't do, you open yourself up to what He can do. And He can actually come in and then take your life and make it function where he wants you to be and where He wants you to do. The Lord is, the body of Christ has got to function. I believe that we are functioning. As a church, we are functioning. But don't let anything try and draw it away. May the Lord help us to function in the place He wants us to be. One of the things, this article, I'll give you a copy of it. It's an old book. I've tried to copy it on my copier, and you'll be able to decipher most of it. It says, "How can we as a church allow for the manifestations of the work of the Spirit of God?" And I believe that we do that. We give time to God. You've got to give time to the Lord. You've got to give time to seek in His face, to where you fit in the body of Christ. And let me say, He won't ask you to play. He won't ask me to play a piano because I ain't got a price. He won't ask me to play a guitar, but He might ask me to lead a meeting. Now I can do that. That's something He's given me ability, but I can't do. I can do it out of my own strength, and it'll be just leading a meeting. But that's allow the Spirit of God just to move, like we did on Sunday. Ken gets up and talks about. I've been thinking about anxiety, and there's Dan sat there thinking, "Will you shut up, please? I've got my sermon." And that's happened to me many times. Someone spoke in tongues. There's been interpretation. It's been they brought out 3 points. The 3 points have been the 3 points I'm going to be talking about. And that's happened to many, a few times to me. But let me say to you, if we function where God wants us to function, we might be a big toe. But let me tell you, you're important. You know, if they cut my big toes off, I'd have no balance. If they cut my thumb off, I couldn't hold a sword. In fact, I couldn't hold anything hardly at all, because the thumb gives you the strength to the rest of your fingers. And that's what they used to do with the kings in the old days. Cut their thumbs off and their big toes. They couldn't run because they got no balance. So it's significant. You know, look at your big toe and you think, well, you're only the end of my foot there. But if you ain't got him, you know all about it. You'd have to have a special shoe built so that it would give you that balance. And so don't think look at your nails. Ever torn a nail off? I have, on occasions. And I never knew I had it until I had a problem with it. And everything I touched then seemed to be always touching that nail, but before I didn't know what about it. But let me tell you, that's as important. Mm-hmm. Very, very important to me functioning, or my hand functioning as it should. And you are very important. Don't ever let anybody put you down. Find out where God wants you to function. Function there. Because that, in doing that, you'll be not only doing what God wants you to do, but you'll be bringing blessing and honour and glory to the Lord Himself. Because we need you, I need you. You're perhaps saying, yeah, and I need you. Well, that's fine. But I can't work independent. One of the things that I was told when I was first saved, be accountable. Be accountable to the leadership, and then be not only just accountable, but then be involved in what the church is doing. Accountability and involvement will bring you to a place where you'll start to function in the way God wants you to function. The man who wrote this old book, it's a quite an old book, this one that I've got this cutting from. You can see how old it is. It's all discoloured. But the man who wrote this, Glory in the Church. The glory in the church is the Holy Spirit functioning as He wants to function. And He can only do that through you and me. When Jesus was on the earth, the little children, when they put His hand on their heads and blessed them, they felt the hand of God upon them. When He said to the woman that was caught in adultery, go and sin no more, she heard the voice of God. Mm-hmm. When the lepers that came to Him, and he said, go and show yourself to the priest, they were healed, they felt the healing power of God Himself. But one day Jesus went back to glory. He went home, He went back, sits at the seat of power. There's a man in the glory, hallelujah. But Jesus went there, but for that few days, I think it was 50 days, when they were seeking and waiting upon the Lord, the Holy Spirit came. We then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the working of the Holy Spirit, we can now feel the hand of God. Amen. Know the blessing of God. Know God working in our lives. And the church that functions as he wants us, the body of Christ that functions as he wants us to function, is the body of Christ that actually sees signs and wonders and miracles happening. Not because of the first of the people, but it's the Holy Spirit working. You see, no people I've heard people saying, oh, I've got the gifts of healing. Well, I don't believe I've got them. I'm the Lord's used me in gifts and interpretation and prophecy. If the words of wisdom, I'm probably certainly used in that area. But I can only be used in that area under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it out of my own. If I did it out of myself, if I did it independent, thinking, oh, I know it, I've got it, it's mine, I'd fall flat on my face. It's the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's the work and the amount of the Holy Spirit just working in such a way that he takes us up for that moment of time and uses us. It's the gift isn't resident, but it's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be used in a certain gifting all the time, but you only get the power in that gifting as the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you allow him to work in you. The glory in the Church of Jesus Christ today, when Jesus walked the earth, the glory among the apostles was Jesus. The glory in the Church of Jesus Christ today is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I'll send you someone just like me. Louise can't understand the Godhead, but no, she's trying, bless her. But it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we pray to the Father through Jesus the Son. And then he instructs the Holy Spirit to bring about the purposes that we are praying for. Yes. And I believe, and it's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we are used and we use our gifting. And when we do that, we get the power of God upon our lives. If we do it because we think we can do it, it will fail. But Jesus wants us to do it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that we don't fail, but we succeed. The body of Christ is important and everyone needs to function in it. My function is not yours. As I said before, yours is not mine. If I try to do your job, I'll make a right mess. If I went in the kitchen and started to try and cook in that, where would we be? You might have burnt toast I can do a few things, but I can't produce a meal like some people. But you can. You can do certain things I can't do. Give me a needle, a bump and cotton, and I've had more time trying to thread the cotton through the eye of the needle than enough. But give it to somebody that's a seamstress, and she'll have it done, and the things that need to be done will be completed and completed right and as God wants them. And we're all special. You might be a fingernail, but you're special. You might be a leg, but you're special. Because without that speciality, working in the body of Christ cannot function as he wants us to. And it's all done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I never knew what it was to be sorry in a family situation till I became a Christian. And I couldn't understand it. I thought, what are they after? What's behind what they're doing? Then I realised that they were doing it because I was part of the family. Let the family minister to you. Be part of the family. Function in the family of God. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit will come upon us in such a way that we will start and function as he wants us to. We're looking for signs and wonders. Things happening. And I believe we're seeing things happening in the church with people. God is speaking into people's lives. Let's lose that. We'll only lose it if you don't function where God wants you to. You might not think you're doing very much at this moment in time, but do what you can. and that what you can't do, the Lord will strengthen you to do what he wants you to do, so that we move on and move forward in him. As we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to actually unite us, make us not independent, make us interdependent. You are part of me, I am part of you as the body of Christ. And as we function together, there's going to have to be someone leading. There's going to have to be a brain. There's going to have to be a heart, the one that's the driving force behind. I couldn't do anything if my heart stopped beating, if my blood didn't start flowing properly. Often I wonder just how these things happen, but they do. When you're ill in your physical body, the illness is registered in the brain, and immediately help is sent by extra blood, which carries nutrients to try and heal that which is wrong. Let's be the same in the family of God. Let's be those that will be prepared to give of what we have, so that the body of Christ will function correctly. If you're weak, okay, we know that in our weakness that the Lord says his strength may be perfect in weakness. But let me tell you, sometimes his methods are men and women. It's got to be. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his mind, we are his thoughts. And he wants to take hold of us and use us in such a way that we will function as the body of Jesus Christ on earth in the harvest fields. We want to function in such a way that no one feels that they're not part of the body. All the parts of my that are inside here that you can't see, they know they belong in here. They know they're mine. If they weren't mine, my body would reject them. People that have transplants, they have to take tablets for the rest of their life to stop rejection. But all the things in here, as far as I know anyway, they're all original, and you're an original. Fit in with the place of where God wants you to be, and as in your originality, you will indeed function where God wants you to function, and the body of Christ in this place will grow and develop and come forth in such a way that the Holy Spirit will have his way amongst us, and we will see the things that in the church we want to see. I want to see glory in the church more and more. My desire is that God will just come amongst us. I'm not interested in me. I'm not interested in what I can do. I'll do what I can, but I can't do what I used to be able to do. But God doesn't say, do what you used to be able to do. Do what you can do now. It's now you're talking about today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. We can't, but yesterday's history is gone. Tomorrow is in his hands. But today he wants you to function where he's desired you. And as you do, so the body of Christ will be healthy and strong and develop and grow. And as we do that in God, we'll see him working. And he does it all by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the things that we'll be looking at in the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit and things like that in the future, are all there for one purpose and one purpose alone. That is that the body of Christ might function as Jesus wants it to. God bless you. What we require. Amen.
Anybody got any questions?
Yeah. I love that, don't despise the small things.
No, don't, no.
And what you said also, David, don't say I used to be able to do this. You know, do what you can do today. You know, don't let like the experiences of the past and don't let the fear of the future stop you from what you can do today. You know, do what God has laid in your heart to do and start small. Even if it's small, start small. To you, it might seem small, but your small is significant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? And they're both. Yeah.
I was going to say the widow's mite. Jesus had marked on that more than the other people.
Exactly, yeah.
She'd given all she had.
Yeah.
That was more beneficial. Jesus thought it was. So, you know, if 100 people live small, it's better than one person maybe living half.
That's right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, a lot of people think, oh, I want to be this, or I want to be that. There's no top dog in the family of God. You know, my brain's the most important part, you would think. But let me tell you, if your heart don't pump blood to it, it's no good, it's useless. You know, it controls everything. Except if it doesn't get its right blood supply. I mean, I went to hospital, they said I had an ITA, which I think is like a stroke of some sort. And they did an MRI scan on my brain, and the chap brought it back. He said, I've had a look at this. I said, is there a brain there? He said, oh yeah, there's a brain there. But let me say to you, I didn't know what I'd had anything like it. I didn't know what was going on. But you might think, oh, I'm not doing hardly, I'm just come. Well, just come. Because God's going to show you, I believe, the function that he wants you to do. Some of us can't do very much, we say. But it's not how very much you do. There's little things going on in my body that if it didn't happen, I'd be absolutely no good whatsoever. In my lungs, there's air going in and air coming and CO2 and stuff, rubbish coming out when I breathe out. But the oxygen it takes out in my lungs, if it's not a certain percentage, I couldn't function. And that's just a small thing. If you looked at my lungs and inside your lungs, they look like little cauliflower. Sprouts of cauliflower, and they don't look anything at all. But if they weren't there, that's where the exchange rate goes. The rubbish comes out, and the goodness goes in. And it's as simple as that in the family of God. You are important. Don't ever think that you're meaningless. God's brought you here. To the end of this fellowship for a reason. And that reason is because you can do something that nobody else can do, just like you do it.
I just want to say, David, what you said about the parts in your body that nobody can see, and that but they don't put them on like us being in the body, we're not important at the front sort of thing, but we're still doing our part wherever we are, aren't we? Unseen.
I mean, you see my face. You see my hands. You don't see what's going off right inside. Don't see my kidneys working. And if they stopped working, it wouldn't last long. I wouldn't have to go on dialysis. If my liver didn't stop working, I'd be in trouble. You can't see that happening. And there's a lot of work goes on behind the scenes. And the enemy says, oh, you're not doing much. But they need to be done because those things, like someone who might walk in and see that, Joan would walk in and see the carpet wants to open in. What she does, goes and gets that little Henry out and puts you. Next thing you've got, it's the job's done. But if it wasn't done, there'd be more. What kind of condition would the church be in? It's like your home, you keep your home clean and tidy. It might be that you might just dust. But if you didn't dust, you'd soon get a right mess. Especially when we've been around working with the drills and things like that. But
I think people think they're not spiritual though, you see, but you've got to keep the house of God nice, even if it's not a spiritual sort of thing.
Every work done for the Lord, spiritual.
Yeah, of course it is.
Every work. Whether it's washing pots on a Sunday night, or it's cleaning carpet, or whatever, it's painting a wall, or the bigger thing, putting a ceiling like we're putting it.
Or making a tripod.
It's all fun.
Or like making a tripod.
Or making a tripod, yeah. Yeah, you know, there is nothing that you do for the Lord that's wasted. And is insignificant. It might not be, in your opinion, your thoughts, it might not be very much. But if it's what the Master wants you to do, it's the most important job for you there is in the kingdom.
There's often a clash between science and faith. And scientists for years have said that we are the product of evolution, and that we started off as a single cell, and over millions of years eventually humans arrived, and I don't believe that at all. A lot of modern scientists, this is wonderful, a lot of modern scientists have said that they don't believe that anymore, and that they believe that the complexity of our body is such that it would be impossible for it to be just an accident.
That's right.
That there must be something behind it that actually has made that body to be the way it is, you know, the brain and the heart and the blood and whatever else function in the way that it does. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I could have told them that 30 years
before. Yeah, that's right. You know, but we've been trying to tell them it for a long time.
Yeah, that's just lovely. You know, and of course they haven't said, and that must be God. Yeah. But we know.
But they know. Deep down inside, they know.
They know we're not just... And the other thing that always amazes me about us is that there are not two of us who look alike.
No.
You know, you look at me and you say, well, thank God for that. Praise the Lord.
And fingerprints as well.
No, it's just billions of people. You know, how could that all be an accident?
What's coming to me, what David said today, a small area.
Yeah.
What David reminded me to say is, rejoice in the Lord always, and that in them I walk with God.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I've got today.
Yeah. And you know, the thing about rejoicing, it doesn't say rejoice in the Lord. It says rejoice in the Lord and rejoice. It says do it twice, do it again and again and again.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great.
That's right. The thing is, we've just got to function.
Mm.
Basically, we've got to function.
Yeah.
Where God wants you to do it. It might be in the background, no one might ever see what you do. But if it's not done, that work isn't done. The body of Christ won't function here in Harvest Fields.
And David, the other thing is, you won't always see the results of what you do. You might say something to me that is just absolutely buoyed me up, lifts me up, and is wonderful. You might not necessarily see what you've done, but I will feel it. So, you know, what you do, especially your tribe, you know, it buoys, you know what I mean? It buoys people, it lifts people.
It does.
And, you know, so you don't always necessarily see the results of what you do, but they're there nonetheless.
Well, if you look at your own body, you don't see half of what's going on.
No.
Good job you don't, some John.
But you'll be back to death, won't you?
But you don't see the things you're on in your body. The different times of the day, different things are happening, and you don't have to say to them. I mean, I don't have to say to my heart, please beat 72 times a minute, will you? It does it.
Like you taught me, you are the vessel.
That's right. And the problem is sometimes, if we're not very careful, if the Lord uses us in a real big way, we start to get ourselves, get thinking, oh, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the safeguard, that's the safeguard of being accountable to one another. because it's not me at all.
No.
I'm just the vessel that God uses, or you're the vessel that God uses. And he uses it to bring glory and honour to his name and to bless the people. The body of Jesus Christ in this place will function and only function as we do what God wants us to do. It's no good me saying, oh, Joan, I'll look after that job because I can't do it like she does it. And very often we get square pegs in round holes. Well, I want round pegs in round holes and square pegs in square holes. Otherwise, each one of us functioning as God requires of us. And if we do that, we'll start to see the Holy Spirit having his way amongst us, because we're all working from the same hymn sheet. We're all working for the same purpose. There's no one trying to get brownie points. You know, trying to say, oh, look at me, look how good I am. In fact, when people say certain things about me, I feel I look over my shoulder and think, well, you're talking like and in one purpose, and that will bring the Holy Spirit, and it'll bring glory into the church. We'll start to see things we're seeing things already, but we'll see them in a greater measure as we move in that area, in that realm. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this morning as we spent this hour together. We praise you, Lord, for your love and care for each one of us. Lord, we praise you that you have purpose and we are here on purpose as well. We come for the kingdom for such a time as this. You've gathered us, Lord, together. And I pray, Lord, that we shall start and function. Lord, whatever we find our hands to do, we'll do it as heartily as unto you, Lord. We pray, take what we have. Lord, just take it now, we pray. Lord, help us to understand just where you want to take us to be in the body of Christ in this place. Let us function there, that the body itself shall be completely healthy and strong. The Holy Spirit shall have his way, and your kingdom will come. Your will be done in our lives, through our lives in our church, and through our church into our community. So, Father, bless us to this end, I pray. Bless all those who are in need in the assembly at this time. We ask you to just bless, touch, heal, restore, and bring, Lord, again, your purposes into their lives, because we ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.